time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
Some say it's just for breakfast. Oh, no, no, no. You know that any time is the right time to fry, microwave, or throw a heaping helping in the oven. Oh, connoisseur of sliced swine.
Cure that hunger with pure pork belly.
That's not bacon. It's bacon on bacon.
And it needs a little more bacon, yeah.
So the next time you crave a porcine plateful of bacon brittle, a bacon-wrapped filet, bacon-covered pizza, chocolate-covered bacon, or a bucket of bacon bits, we'll tip our pork pie hat to you, Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool, a real American hero.
Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
You don't just eat bacon. You let it melt in your mouth like meaty candy.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
And good morning, Sherry. Good morning, world.
Good morning, Sam.
It's Wednesday, November 18th, as you call it, hump day.
Hump day. Well, I didn't like phrase that for the world, but it's been told to me.
I see. Okay. And you explained to us what you thought it was in the beginning. That you didn't know what it was.
Right. That was the explanation. Yeah. I was dumb.
Well, what a way to start your morning. You're dumb.
Well, more being told by you that I'm dumb.
No, you just said that. Okay, I know.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
How does it feel? Do you sometimes get annoyed to like look up and there's just someone just smiling back so early in the morning?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder someone like you who's so bitter and miserable.
Yeah.
If like when they look across, they're like, oh my God, can I wipe that smile off her face? Like I was just dancing on the inside with our Sam and Sherry intro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, I love my life.
Oh, you mean that dancing that you were doing?
Yeah. You just looked up at me.
Okay, I didn't realize you were dancing. I just thought you were doing something there.
Well, I don't know if I'd... Maybe it's not dancing. it was just more like energy coming out of my fingertips.
Yeah. So you're full of energy this morning. Uh-huh. Good, I am too.
Good, yeah, I can tell.
It's a little warm in here. But
it is a little warm.
Yeah, they didn't turn on the air for some reason.
Oh.
Maybe they were freezing when they came in.
I don't know, but it's good for weight loss. It's like a sauna.
It is. Good for weight loss.
They're helping out my weight loss program.
Yeah, I think I'll take a walk instead.
Oh,
yeah, I don't like being warm, let me tell you. That's
Well, you're also wearing like a thermal shirt.
It's not really, no. I thought I'd wear a long sleeve today because it is kind of chilly in the morning, you
mm-hmm.
know? But also to sort of like change the wardrobe a little bit as I'm transitioning into fall fashion.
And down the runway, we have Sam, who's now transitioned into his fall wardrobe. He's got a long, black-ribbed thermal sweater on. Which, before that, yesterday, he would have been wearing a green T-shirt, but okay, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I don't like long sleeve. I don't know why I wore it this morning.
I love long sleeve. Well, you know that like fall fashion is my favorite. But today,
yeah.
I was like, oh, it's going to get warmer later, so I'm actually
short sleeve. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we're opposite today.
I just figured I'd change my shirt later.
I appreciate
what the hell.
I appreciate it. It makes for much better viewing.
Thank you. You see, I was thinking about that.
Right, yeah. Right. It's always about
me. I can't ignore it, yeah.
What should I wear for Sherry today?
Because yeah. I'm starting to think maybe your camera is capturing me as well.
No. You might be right. I've got secret cameras everywhere.
Yeah, I guess. Miss Oprah.
Shut up.
Did you see the Sarah Palin interview with her?
No, I haven't TiVo'd. I have like 10 Oprahs to catch up on.
Really?
Yeah, so today's kind of my day off.
That's
so.
A lot of Oprah to catch up on.
It's 20 hours.
Wow.
That's why. Well, I mean, as much as like you listen to Howard Stern, you know, like all that stuff.
That's
like that's
true.
What I do with my Oprah.
Yeah.
I'm realizing that I'm so much better than her.
Really?
I'm just putting that out in the universe.
Yeah.
Someone hears
well,
that.
Well, it took you a while to yeah. figure that out.
Well,
right?
You know, someone hears it and then they're like, really? What's so great about her? Let's figure it out. So,
uh-huh.
And then they, so, then they, you know, invest in me.
I see.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. It's all figured out for you. But that's
know.
Good. You got to visualize it first,
yeah.
you know?
Well, like I said, I think yesterday I visualized that I finally realized that I don't want to be her. Like, I don't want, because even if I got her daytime
right.
slot,
uh-huh.
I don't know if they'd be able to air me during the
yeah.
day.
I mean, you talk about it, it was just like almost around the corner. You know?
Well, not 2011 is around the corner.
That's true. Then you better hurry up.
I can't believe you're laughing at me so badly. Like, I'm crazy, girl. You just wait, Mester. You just wait. When I give you a hand over my 2 weeks notice.
You
like,
really don't have to. I mean, if you get an Oprah kind of slot.
I can give you a day notice.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to. You can just tell me to go fuck off.
Can I just do that now?
Sure.
No. I think the world will know before 2 weeks. I'll be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I
think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think would know way before that.
Well, yeah. Like, I don't hold any secrets back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you'd blog everything.
Video blog,
I went for the audition today. Yeah.
There you go. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Did you like my video?
Yeah.
A little travel video.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know how to say this, but it's...
Just
it's,
say it.
Okay, it's just as stupid as the other ones.
Okay, next subject. Oh my God, you're the most loving person I've ever met.
It's not about loving. You
no,
want
no,
me to be objective
about it.
No,
why is it the dumbest thing you've ever met? It wasn't like just
okay.
like a little...
No, I mean, it's cute, okay? It's cute in the way that...
A little five-year-olds are cute.
Yeah.
You are so not going to be a viewer of my talk show. I can tell already.
No, I will be. I'll be the biggest fan.
No, no,
for sure.
Every video vlog that you've watched of mine, you made fun of.
No, but what I do admire about the video is that you have the guts to do it, you know?
That's the most backhanded compliment ever. You're like, you really have the guts to go out there and make an ass out of yourself.
No, I don't think you're making an ass out of yourself. I just think that it's...
I just have fun.
Yeah.
I just have
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I'm like too critical.
No, no, it's okay. I'm not trying to do any yeah. life-changing anything. Like, I was just trying to share my time
I know,
with people.
I know.
What I mean?
I know. No, it's cute.
A douchebag. Why don't you go make a video vlog? Let's see what that's
no,
like.
No, but I mean, you sit there with the leaves and everything. Yeah.
It was so fun.
I'm sure it was, but do we need to watch that on video?
Yes, you
okay.
do.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Listen, I'm sure for every one of me, there's like 100 that loved it.
1,000. Gets get into treats.
Okay.
No, it was completely dorky, and but yeah, I'm a dork. Like I've never ever denied that. That's what I am. I'm
yeah.
cheesy. Like I was so excited by those fall leaves.
I know.
I just no,
yeah.
no, I just wanted to play in them, and
then
did
you stick it on your or you had one stuck on your forehead.
I know. That was funny. Anyway, let me tell you about my dream.
Sure, you're 35 years old, okay?
Did you just announce that to the world? I already have.
What a dirty look.
No, I'm just kidding. So 35 years old, I can't play with leaves anymore?
No, you can't
Should
do
I be throwing
videos
up dildos? I don't understand. What am I supposed to do at 30? Oh, I can't do videos.
I don't know. Yeah, just don't document it. But you know what? I got to give it to you. It was very high quality video.
You know what? Like, oh. I, that's that little flip cam.
Really?
Yeah, like the one that's like this big.
Uh-huh.
Best quality ever. It's like
it
HD.
Really is.
It's like $199.
Yeah.
You can take it anywhere. And I was so impressed with the quality itself. I got a lot of compliments on that. Not
really?
Not on me, just on the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody noticed the show itself.
I missed out on the best part, though. Yeah. I kind of forgot that I had it. But yeah, it's a great little... That's what I do... with my friend, when we do the We Are What We Do,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, changing the world one whatever at a time,
yeah.
We use that camera, which
yeah.
I'm going to do that later today. We got, I told you about this a while ago, but seeing how your memory is,
yeah.
you know, we each week do something, you know, like whether
yeah.
it's, you know.
I recall seeing one of the videos.
Yes.
Those, like a long time ago.
Yeah,
maybe
light
when
bulbs,
you just started
like, you know,
or something.
Changing your light bulbs, like using the energy efficient light bulbs, like the plastic
yeah.
bags. Like we do all those different ones, and it's by this organization in London called We Are What We Do. Well, they saw our videos. And so now they're Twittering about her and I,
uh-huh.
and they want us to join them in like getting more viewers and things and giving out prizes and it. And this is like a huge organization. They just saw our videos
really?
On their page.
Wow.
Just
how
found
cool
this out this
that,
morning.
You see?
So, yeah.
yeah.
See?
So, yeah,
putting
you never know who's going to discover
putting
you,
it out
you
there.
Know?
So we're going to make our week 10 video today. So I'm doing that later
week
today.
Week 10.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've been doing like 9 weeks of, you know, changing the world.
Okay. Now, is that dorky too?
changing the world or
no,
the videos.
No, the videos.
Yeah, totally dorky. Totally. Like last week it was like, last week's one was conserve water, you know, shower with a friend. So obviously her and I were not going to get in the shower together for the video. So she had a blow up doll in the video with her and stuff like that as her boyfriend Juan. So like little things. And then today's video is about using solar, using the sun to dry your clothes and stuff. So mm-hmm. we're going to do a video today and yeah. do some fun stuff in there. So just little things that are entertaining, but, you know, remind people, you know, how to do things to help, you know, the environment.
Yeah.
All that kind of
well,
stuff.
You know what? It's funny you talk about this because I just picked up a new book yesterday called Startup Nation. Mm-hmm. And it's about high tech in Israel. Okay. And how it like sort of like the smallest like place in the world has got the biggest concentration of like brain power and stuff, uh-huh, you know, and uh-huh. shit like this. So this guy came out with the idea of, you see, the problem with electric cars, the reason they stay with hybrid is because the batteries are too expensive
okay.
for an electric car, like extremely expensive. So this guy figured out that, you know, if you buy the whole battery in advance, it's like buying the whole gas station like years in advance. You don't need the battery all the time, so you pay for it as you go. So in order to do that, they have to build like an infrastructure where you buy the car without the battery.
Trying to keep up with you here.
You buy the car without the battery.
Okay.
Okay? And then there's this infrastructure where everywhere you park, the car is going to get charged as
okay,
you're waiting.
Okay, they have that at the airport.
Right. But that takes a long time. Here in like 65 seconds or something,
oh,
your
okay.
car would be charged.
Okay.
So this is like refueling as you go.
Okay.
What a fucking brilliant idea, you know?
I thought it was like that already.
No, you have to have a battery with you at all times. And so that's why the cars are not like really powerful, you know?
Okay.
And I mean, even the electric cars you see today are not, they don't save that much, you know? I mean, because there's other expenses.
So explain to me, though, how the electric car works. So you charge it,
yeah,
the battery.
Yeah, you charge it just like you would fuel at a gas station.
Oh, and it keeps running out constantly kind
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was like that quick. Okay.
Yeah, so let's say you're driving to Vegas or something, mm-hmm. right? So you'd charge it, mm-hmm. and then maybe, you know, midway there, there'll be like a station or something, and you charge it there. But it's not something where you have to park it for hours, you know?
Okay,
it's like
gotcha.
In a minute or two,
okay.
you get refueled. So, you know, so...
So the Israelis have thought about this.
Yeah.
They're saying all this brilliance in a small...
Yeah. And they figured that would be a great place to start because it's a smaller country, uh-huh. you know, you don't need big distances and stuff.
Right.
So that's what I was reading yesterday. And
interesting.
Yeah, and I'm not that into the environment, but I thought, what a fucking brilliant idea, you know?
Obviously, smoker.
Yeah. It's the Jewish brain at work, Jerry.
Yeah, so I liked how you said it was like all this genius in one concentrated area. I'm like, you must be talking about Israel. As just the other day, you were talking about how awful people they are and running you down and everything. Brilliant.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, you know what? I'm starting to work out that issue because I realized it's me, not them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed with that. You're taking responsibility for
yeah,
all your misery.
I am.
It's not about everybody else. It's about you.
I know.
I'm
trying to figure it out. Yeah. I'm going to work that out and...
Oh, good.
And figure out what's going on. Yeah.
That warms my heart.
Because you see, I left when I was 16 years old, mm-hmm. you know? And I think I sort of like left... It's like when I go back there, I think I revert to that age.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where your self-esteem is not that great mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, you're trying to figure out who you are. I think that's what happens to me when I go there.
And all your issues that you had like there and stuff
yeah.
like that probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what happens to me when I go there. It's mm-hmm. sort of like the 16-year-old that has to prove something
right.
and gets irritated when people are, you know, are just like.
Yeah. And then plus, like, your parents are there. So you immediately revert back to being a child anyway. Like,
probably,
anytime you're around
yeah.
your parents a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
Sounds infantile to me.
No, I mean, I like that you're thinking about yeah. this and that it's...
No, I really do because it bothers me. You know
yeah.
I mean? It bothers me, like, why I would go there. You know, this is, like, where I came from
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and yet I get really irritated
yeah.
there, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. They don't get irritated, mm-hmm. and they're in the same place.
Well, especially, like, I don't think you're normally like that. I mean, granted, we all know you whine, like, a lot.
Right.
But you seem so angry.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you were there.
Yeah,
and then when you
true.
Came back and talked about it, like, you seemed angry.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
And so there's obviously, like, other things besides just, like, people running you down.
Yeah,
you know,
well, yeah,
too.
I realized it's
yeah.
me. It's not them.
It's okay. That's the first step to recovery. Admitting that you're the problem. It's not all the animals.
Yeah. No, contrary to what you might think, I do have a lot of self-criticism and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm able to go outside and look at myself. You know?
Yeah. Oh, self-criticism. Okay. I was going to say that's why you're a perfectionist, though, is like because you've got to... You're constantly critiquing yourself.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I think we all need to do that.
Yeah, and in ways it's great, you know, like this radio station, you know, I mean, I made it as great as possible,
yeah.
You know, not just like to say I have a radio station.
Was it just average?
Yeah.
Even our guest yesterday told me, like, in the elevator, she was like, I wasn't expecting this kind of place at all.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
Expecting, like, some hole in the wall. We should bring our own headphones.
Yeah. I know, she did offer to do that.
She told me that. She's like, I sent him an email and said, do you want me to bring headphones? That was so funny. And I was like, yeah, that's Sam for you.
Yeah.
No, like, half-ass anything.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. That's pretty flattering.
Oh, I do. I love coming here. I mean, the first day that I mean, not that I've ever, it just looks like a regular radio station like you would, you know, I don't think that I was shocked the first time, but now realizing that it is internet radio and it's different than the average, like, right. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to traditional radio stations, they're not cool. They still look like hole in the wall,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's not like in the movies and stuff.
Well,
you know?
You're a 5-star spoiled Jew. Like, I know you wouldn't be in an environment. Like...
And you wouldn't hang out with anybody different. Give me 5 stars.
Shut up. I got to tell you about this dream of mine.
Yeah.
So
the Spanish one?
No. This is a dream this morning that I woke up from.
Oh, okay. Because you had a Spanish one you woke up from.
I did. I was in South America. Well, you always wake up from a dream. Hello.
No, but that's the one I saw.
Yeah, that was from yesterday.
Okay.
I didn't post this one because this one's a little dramatic.
Oh, really?
I'm still kind of grossed out by it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, not like that.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like that. Lately, my ex-fiance has been, like, calling me every day, and we've been talking, like, in the mornings and stuff just about things, and not about us, but, you know, life and stuff, and so this morning, thank God, like, even though he woke me up, like, way too early, like, he got me out of my dream, but I don't know if you remember, it was, like, one of my first shows when you and Jasmine were here, it was my first one, and I talked about my dream then, and I regularly have dreams where, like, animals or bugs are always, like, biting at me.
Really?
They're always, like, nipping at my ankles or my hands. Like, always, always.
Yeah.
And I can't ever escape.
That's a paparazzi
them.
For you. You're preparing.
I like the way you think. I was told that it just means that there's something always, like, you know, nagging at me
nagging
that I have to
you.
Do.
Yeah.
That I have to do, you know. So this morning or last night's dream was about 2 chickens, okay?
Uh-huh.
And these chickens' beaks were constantly, like, at my ankle, and they were, like, chasing me around the house, and they were trying to, like, bite, just bite, 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 and so I kept, like, kicking them, like, trying to get them away from me, and I kept, like, throwing them out of doors and stuff like that, and then they got so angry, oh, I'm so grossed out right now thinking about it, they got so angry at me that they decided that they were gonna, like, come all over me.
The chicken?
Yes. No, but it wasn't just, like, normal ejaculation. It was, like, as if someone broke open an egg and, like, egg yolk.
Oh, really?
Like, that's how they orgasmed in my dream. And so, like, they trapped me in this room, and, like, one was above me, and, like, this big cavity in their body, like, opened up, and just, like, egg yolk and the white and all this stuff just, like, got all over me. And so I took both of the chickens by the necks, and I went out on the balcony, and I threw them off the balcony, like, 6 floors down, and they were just splattered all over the ground, like, into scrambled eggs. And then, as I stood there, I looked over and I was like, I can't believe I just killed 2 chickens. And then my phone rang, like, in my dream. But I thought in my dream that it was the police, like the siren, like,
I just killed 2 chickens.
Coming to arrest me for throwing chickens off a balcony and leaving, like, eggs on the street. And then I finally answered the phone, and but it was the most, like, I don't know what this means except that I'm sick. Or that I need ejaculation.
You've
I don't
got
know.
An issue with chickens. That's what it is.
I have an issue with
and
animals,
eggs.
Like, things and stuff and biting me. Like, it's so weird. Like, but I honestly was so grossed. It was like a nightmare. My heart was palpitating. Like,
yeah.
I thanked my ex. I'm like, thank you. I was like, you saved me from 2 chickens. Weirdest dream.
Sounds
ever.
Like a vivid dream. I mean,
oh, it was. And I can't always remember all my dreams, but this one, like, and I think it's because I got woken up right, you know,
exactly.
In the middle of it, that it was just.
Yeah.
I was done for.
Wow.
I don't know if I can ever look at chickens.
What
thing.
A dream.
But they seriously were like, I was bloody. It was just gross.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, would you be scared by chickens now if there was one in the room?
Like, after having that dream?
Yeah.
I think, well, chickens are just ugly anyway. But, I mean, I don't think I'd be scared from my dream. I just probably think about, like, how I wonder now how they ejaculate more than anything. Like, if they have egg yolk coming out of them. That's so weird. Or, like, the egg white. It's just... It was like a shower from it. It was so gross. Like, but it was like they were planning this together, and they were just like talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this will give us some meaning to the come on the face type of a thing, you know?
You know, it very well could be.
Yeah. I mean, because I know there's an underlying issue there. I mean,
there's not an
you
want to
be humiliated or something.
Okay.
That's what it is.
There's no humiliation in liking what you like. Okay?
No, I know. But no, there's humiliation in someone. I mean, I'm not saying it's necessarily that, but it's sort of like role playing that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Of like, hover over me and just like fill me with your goo, you know.
You say it that way, I'm so grossed out, and I'm like, just fill me with love. Maybe I don't call it goo, maybe I call it love or love goo. Whatever. I didn't want to. I thought about not talking about this dream because I was like, I knew we were gonna get into cum conversation.
Like analyze.
I think the dream's more is still about the, you know, the
chickens,
animals.
Yeah.
Well, not even the animals. There's something like just bugging me.
Yeah.
Just weird. And I've had it for years, for
really?
Years, for years. And I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And I think it'll be solved in 2011.
Probably.
In Oprah.
It's pretty primal though. I mean, you know, this feeling that you have.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. Yeah.
Thanks,
I mean, wow.
Doctor.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, and then yesterday I leave work. Here's another crazy story. I'm at the gas station and I go inside and I'm paying for gas. And this black guy was like, I was like, oh, geez, here we
go.
So
he's a black guy.
Shut up.
What is it?
Shut up.
I think you're projecting that.
No, well, there's two white guys with him and he was like, oh. And I was just like, oh, God. And he was like, girl, he's like, you got some beautiful eyes. And I was like, oh, thank you. And I just smiled and I put my head down. And he goes, what, people around here don't talk to you like that? And I was like, and what do you say to that? No, I hear that all the time. I was just like, no. I was like, I just get shy, which I do. Like, when someone gives me a compliment, I do get shy. And he was like, oh, he's like, you must hear that all the time. And he was like, you're probably used to it. And I said, well, in all honesty, I said, I never take for granted compliments. I was like, so thank you. And he was like, no, thank you for thanking me. Mm. And he just like kept going, oh. And then he was like, you really are pretty. And I was like, thank you. And then I finally just like looked at him. I was like, you got to stop. Because he was just like staring at me. And I was like,
What were you doing? I mean, what? You guys were just standing there?
There was three people in line in front of me.
Oh, I see. So it's in line the whole time.
This is in line. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm waiting to pay for the gas.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, thank you. And he was like, have a good day. And I was like, or have a good night. And I was like, you too. Now, meanwhile, he's got this tag on that said he's like for the missionary, like homeless missionary, and like this church sign and everything, like being a cross. And it said that he was like attached to some church. And they all like pile into this van and I'm pumping gas and he comes over to me.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, so do you live around here? And he had like some, I think it was from the South or something like that, which
right.
I wasn't trying an accent
okay,
today, by
good.
The way. Yes. And so I was like, oh, I live in Hollywood. And I always and always engage in conversation with people. Like, I'm not rude. He wasn't rude to me. And he was just like, so are you married? And I was like, no, but I am dating somebody, because I couldn't say I'm married. I have no ring on my finger, you know. So I was like, I am dating. He was like, would you like to have a friend on the side? I was like, no, I'm actually good. I'm a loyal person. He was like, well, I'll be loyal to you. And then he was like, I work with, and I was like, I see the homeless. And I said, in the church. I said, this is interesting. I was like, you work with the church? You're just coming on with some stranger? And then he was like, I just got to tell you, girl. He's like, you are stacked. And I said to him, I looked at him, I was like, that's very God-loving. I have to tell you. And he was like, so are you saying I have no chance? And I said, I'm saying my boyfriend wouldn't appreciate this very much.
Yeah.
And then he walked away and he was just like, And I was just like, what is it? Like, how have you ever, like, when you were single, like, have you ever been, like, were you ever that aggressive with women?
I would never do that.
Ever.
Never.
Right?
No.
Like,
I mean, I feel if they catch me looking at them,
mm-hmm.
that it's too aggressive.
Yeah, know? I mean, I think it's one thing smiling at somebody or whatever, but like when you go out of your way, like, and who does that to someone's face? Like,
No, exactly. Like, you know that's what I mean, you know. But it's another culture altogether. Let's see if we can catch this phone call.
Oh,
real
sorry.
Quick. No, what? Are you sorry about?
No, I was talking too much.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam, Sherry, it's Reese.
Hey, Reese, how are you?
It's so good that you guys are back. I've missed you terribly.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. Reese, I picked up the phone because I saw you were calling insistently, but we do have the interview in a couple minutes, so may we invite you to call back at about 9:45?
I'll call you guys back. Sherry, I can interpret that dream. That chicken dream. I got it.
You got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead, quickly.
Go do it.
chickens, anytime you dream about something familiar or routine, chickens mean familiarity, something that you're familiar with. And the chickens coming on you, this is you processing all this contact with your ex-fiancé. The chickens represent the fiancé, and them coming on you is the fear of him trying to reconnect to you in some way that is outside of what you want.
Huh.
You're processing this reconnection to somebody that meant a great deal to you.
Right.
But you're not going to have the obvious dream about your ex-fiancé, so it comes in the guise of something that you see and deal with all the time. I mean, we eat chickens, we cook chickens.
Chicken's my favorite food.
Chicken is your favorite, because it tastes like chicken. And... And yeah, the
coming on you
is the intimacy thing. You had intimacy with this familiar person, but you don't have it anymore. And in your dream, you were eschewing it. You were not wanting it. That's why it grossed you out.
Interesting. Where do you come up with this, Reese?
Well, that's good. That's a lot of insight.
I know, and I'm
so
freaking gullible, I'll buy anything you tell me. You would have said something else, I would have been like, huh, really? Okay, I got it.
That makes sense, too.
My fortune cookie wisdom to the rescue.
You're always brilliant.
Thank you.
Reese, it's nice to hear from you, man. We missed you.
I missed you guys, too. Sam, I'm glad you're back in one piece. Sherry, I love your video blog from New York.
I love them, too.
Shut
I mean,
Sam,
it's
too late.
Not,
I know you do, Sam. Right. I know you love them, too.
Yeah,
you're like
just,
a big brother. You got to bust
yeah,
your
I
job.
Have to be honest, yeah.
Of course, Sam.
Such a shit.
Guys, go do your interview. I'm listening, and let's talk again soon.
Yeah,
thank you,
call
Reese.
Us back in about 20 minutes.
All right,
Betty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so we might as well turn to an interview, and we'll go back
I'm
to that guy with
interview.
A hmm.
Yeah. Now we're over him. I just thought it was just kind of too much.
Okay. It was a lot of too much.
And then also just the fact that he assumes that, I get compliments all the time, which, whatever, that I'm conceited about it.
Oh, is that what he was trying to
imply?
Well,
I think
then?
He was just like, you must hear this all the time. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter how many times you hear in one day that you're pretty or your eyes are pretty, it's beautiful every time you hear it.
Yeah.
That someone thinks that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, cool.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to be calling a man called Adam Glasser, and he's also known as Seymour Butts, okay? Which I think is a brilliant name that, that takes me back some time, I don't recall ever watching a movie of his. But I.
What do you mean by a movie of his?
Like porn.
So
porn
he's a porn
movies.
Guy.
He's a porn guy. Well, Seymour Butts, come on.
Right.
Know? I thought you would know, but.
I was saying it for our listeners.
I know.
All I have to say is he slept with over 600 women, and I am really intrigued by this interview.
Okay, sounds good. So he came out with a book. He's doing a book signing and everything, so we're going to call him. And he's supposed to be in our area, I think. So let's see. Adam Glasser.
Maybe he can interpret my cum dream.
Yeah, maybe he can, huh? Chicken's coming. So her book is Rock Her World, The Sex Guide for the Modern Man. Okay, he's probably still on another interview.
All right.
So I would imagine it's a busy day for him, so we'll call him in a few minutes. And so that's what I'm saying. Some guys have they talk really smooth.
Right.
And many women fall for it. That's why they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Last night was not smooth at all. I mean, and he was a pretty good looking guy. It wasn't that he was unattractive or anything like that.
Right.
He just didn't have the right.
It just excessive self-confidence, I think.
Yeah, and you don't salivate over someone in front of you. That just made me uncomfortable.
Right.
What I mean? I don't care how good
But you see,
you
maybe another woman would fall for it, for sure.
Yeah, a dumb one.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's all he wants is a piece of ass. What does he care if she's dumb or
not? That's true. And maybe I look desperate. I don't know. I was in my work shirt.
You're putting it out there.
Maybe. I was not putting desperation out there, mister. Oh, I'm excited. Rock Her World. Do you always feel, have you felt in your past life before marriage and everything, did you always feel a confident man or
always.
Confident lover and stuff
always,
like that? Yeah.
Always. Because I started very early. I would read erotic novels and shit that when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so I sort of when I was ready for it, I think I was 16 or 15 when it was the first time when I had sex for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Or intercourse, let's say, because I've had other sex before that, let's say. And...
Did you get lost?
I felt that I was ready by then. It's like I knew what to do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but it's still, it's like I knew about the clit, for example, but I didn't know where it was. So I had to sort of like search for it.
You're like in the earlobe.
Not quite that far, but yeah.
I know there's a sense of this body here somewhere. Down a little further down, honey.
Exactly.
Down a little bit.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was always pretty confident that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've been very proud of. So, you know, I mean, you can say a lot of things about me, but, you know, as far as being a lover, I feel I'm, you know, good. If I do say so myself, of course, you know.
Yeah, that's good. You should say so.
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
I do say so. So
everybody in this room thinks that they're a great lover. Raise your hands.
Why is the phone not ringing now? I'm trying them again.
We had this the day before yesterday, huh? With our Neil Strauss.
Yeah, that's true, huh? What's going on here?
I don't know. But yeah, gentlemen that are listening, don't ever be that ridiculous with a woman when you pick them up. Like, it was one that he was okay when he was like saying I have pretty eyes. Like, I was genuinely like compliment flattered.
Yeah, flattered.
Like, and I would have had a conversation with him, but then it was once started. It was just like, do you need to go to the bathroom? Like, what's happening here in front of me?
That is salivating, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and especially I didn't even look that good. I just finished working 4 hours in a restaurant. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, okay, you want some ass? Because I know I don't look that good right now.
You want some ass.
Well, especially he was like, and you are, oh, he didn't say stacked, he said built.
Built.
You are built.
Oh, well, that's good.
I was like, that means fat, right?
Is that what it means?
What's a black man?
Yeah.
Thick.
Oh, that's cool. So, I mean, yeah, but, you know, so I guess I don't know if it's flattering or not. I guess it depends who it is, right? I mean, if it was like a really hot guy or something.
No, I'm saying he was good looking, though. Yeah. He had great lips. He had, like, well, his eyes were half shut. He was probably stoned out of his mind.
I reached the glasses at 995.
Okay, no.
Shit. I thought you were, like, talking to the computer. No. No, please stop.
And every time you're like in a rush, you don't get the right button.
I know, that always happens, like when my phone accidentally calls somebody. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to you. end call, and it won't. I know it happens to everybody. Where is this dude? I'm excited, like, especially after seeing his face.
Maybe he'll call in, because I gave him a call-in number too, so maybe like
hopefully
backup.
He didn't give you like a last-minute number like the other one did.
No. Well, maybe, but no, I was communicating with him still this morning, so that's kind of strange.
Maybe he didn't like the conversation with you. Maybe he thought you were dumb, like my video vlogs.
Yeah. But let me give you a little bit of background, just in case we don't get through to him. So his name is Adam Glasser, and he's known also as Seymour Butts. He wrote a book called Rock Her World, The Sex Guide for the Modern Man. And he's doing a book signing today at Book Soup in, it's on Sunset.
Okay, yeah, I know where that is.
You know where Book Soup is? Yeah. And that's like a classic in Hollywood and stuff, you know, a classic bookstore.
What time is that at? Not now, right?
So, no, it is today, but let me just find out. I'm sure I have it here. Well, it's today, so I'm sure it's like all day probably or something.
Well, I was just hoping that it wasn't during this time now, and that's where he's at.
Yeah.
He's pretty good looking, ladies, if you're local.
Yeah, he is pretty good looking, huh? I mean, but he seems young for someone who's been doing this for a long time. Who knows when he started?
Yeah,
but,
well.
Hold on. I think I have it on the email here. Oh. As to, you see, I don't think there's any time given. Although you're right. I mean, it's like...
I mean, darn book... Well, book signings, I mean, they could be at any time, though.
Right. And, well, sometimes there could be a few good hours. But look, if you call right after the show, I'm sure they're going to tell you.
Right.
But at any rate, it's a pretty explicit book and stuff. It's got pictures with, like a schematic of a male.
I
with
show
like,
up today
this is
and
the
like
cock,
like,
the balls, the tape, and the
goes, here's the book. And then he's like, and there's great pictures in here for you. And it opens up and it's just like the sketch drawing of this penis.
Of this guy holding his penis.
Yeah, the one this guy holding his, which is one of my favorite things anyway. Yeah. But it was in like pencil form.
You see, I already know you. I know what page to open to. Even though I hadn't opened the book yet.
Shut up. I want to know what this P-spot is.
The
P-spot. He talks in this book about the mysteries of the P-spot.
Uh-huh.
P The P, but it doesn't say P-E, the penis. Not like your, oh.
Maybe the penis?
I don't know, but he obviously has a lot of information. And I want to know, after sleeping with 600 women, like, do you even enjoy sex anymore? And does every vagina feel the same? I mean,
well,
really, after
yeah.
a while.
I mean, I can't say that because I haven't been with 600.
Okay.
But with the ones
well,
I have been...
all four that you've been with?
I mean, you know, it depends what you mean by vaginas being different. I mean, they are different in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, basically, they're the same.
I mean, they all ultimately feel the same, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, who gets enough of that, you know? I mean, especially guys, you know?
I don't know. Like, I just feel like more, you have to have, the like, there's a maximum times you can orgasm in your life. Like, every time I see, like, if I watch a porno, if I'm with a guy and, like, he comes a lot, I think, where are you getting that from?
Yeah.
Like, don't you run out at some point?
Come on. It just, it replenishes itself.
I mean, I get the scientific kind of, but it's just, like, how do you still turned on after all this time? And how do you, like, don't, like, once you come, like, it's just the same after a while?
Fuck no. I mean,
you just add one right
sex
now.
Is like new every time.
Fuck no. I was like, you just add one. I don't know. I it's different for women because we're, I mean, some women are, like, ejaculating and they're, like, squirters and that kind of stuff. But
not many, but yeah.
But there are.
Yeah.
I've been working on it.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just joking. But men, I don't know. Like, I guess when I see, like, that there's so much, I'm just, it still, like, amazes me that men can have, like, this much sex and still be turned on. Sometimes you're just like, You really? This still excites you?
Yeah.
You know?
But if there's a lot, he probably hasn't ejaculated in a while.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, the longer you wait, the more it comes out. But, I mean, not to say anything. It's not like a judgment call there or anything.
Well, what about porn stars? No, because there's porn stars that when you watch, you're just I want to be under that.
Yeah, but, I mean, also, if you, like, get really horny and you hold back a lot, that would cause it to accumulate.
Right. But
time.
What about the porn stars?
But even the porn stars, they don't do it every day, you know? I mean, so if he knows he's got a scene coming up, like, on Thursday, he may not have any sex for a few days, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
To do that.
If I was his girlfriend, though, I'd be like, hello.
Yeah, well, but maybe he doesn't have one.
Yeah, obviously, then again, I wouldn't be a porn star's girlfriend. Not that I'm judging them, but I'd be like, excuse me.
What if you met him first and you didn't know he was? Would you not stay with him if you really liked him?
No.
No, huh?
No.
Just, there's no appeal to that.
Well, I understand, like, the acting thing, like, as an actress, like, I would want my husband or boyfriend to understand that I'm having love scenes, but I'm not actually having intercourse with them.
Right.
Like, you don't need to go to work and have sex with another woman. I'm enough. Like, really.
If you say so.
Yeah, but it's not that I'd be making a judgment call on them. It's just not for me.
Right.
It's just not for me. I'd want to be the only woman that he's with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I like, think about it. There's some other girl that's, like, swallowing him. That's my job. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, would you?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't.
Would you ever date a stripper?
Even though
if they're not doing anything sexual, they're just doing lap dances and getting money.
I don't know. Even the way they look turns me off, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Do you like wholesome kind of girls?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I mean, no, I mean, look, I like sexy looking women and stuff, but sometimes it's just, a lot of them are skanky, you know, when you look at them up close.
Yeah.
You know,
they look weathered,
like,
and worn and...
Yeah, either that or they're just not pretty, you know?
Oh, I mean, yeah. They just wear, like, a lot of makeup and do their hair, and they just have hot bodies a lot of times.
Yeah.
There's this girl at work that is really not attractive, but she's got, like, a great, like, fit body, and this really good-looking guy that works there was just talking about her yesterday, like, to her, and he was like... And then to me, he was like, that body. He was like, I would do this to her and that to her, and I'm, like, thinking... Oh, like, she's not even cute. And then I thought just how important bodies are to men.
Yeah.
Or
body parts even, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you can focus on body parts. I mean, look, most fetishes are men's fetishes and not women's, you know?
True.
I mean, some women are maybe into, like, foot fetish and that, but...
But don't you want to look at a pretty face, though?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Would you rather have a pretty face and a jacked up body?
I'm a face person for sure. Yeah. Okay, he's not answering.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm bummed out. But we'll reschedule, I guess. Look, I mean, you can expect the day where it's so busy. Because I think it's being published today, you know, released today.
Oh, so he's probably got, like, a million things going
on.
Yeah,
obviously,
like that.
You know.
I know. I was just excited to hear about how to please women.
When are you going
to
publish your book? I'm sure you've got at least one or two books in you, right?
Well, I think I told you a while ago, I started writing that coffee table book about all the men when I was doing that internet dating for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And every man had, like, their own chapter. Like, I had the choker. I had the cross-dresser. And every, like, man had, like, their own, like, it was just, like, one page of the story of the date with them because they were all crazy and they each had their own. And so I wrote, like, 10 chapters of that, which is really only, like, 10 pages.
Yeah.
But,
so
yeah.
So how many were there? 10?
No.
No, there was
no,
more than that.
Well, for a whole year. Uh-huh. For a whole year. This is after I lost, like, all, a lot of weight.
And you had sex with each one of them.
No, God,
oh,
no.
Oh, I see.
No.
Okay.
But it still didn't mean, no.
Oh.
It's not trying to, it's fishing.
Yeah.
For having my number.
There's another phone call. Let's see. I think it's actually Reese again.
Oh.
Reese, you there?
Hey, buddy, I heard you can't get Seymour on the phone.
Yeah, you can't get Seymour on the phone, man, but we'll have him back, I'm sure.
Well, I got to tell you guys, yeah. I've watched some of his work.
Uh-huh.
His work.
Well, it is.
I know, that is true.
A body of work, yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend that was raving about him. He's like, you got to see this guy, this porn. Honestly, it's really interesting. He did this sort of reality television take on pornography. He would go... He was married to, or he was dating this woman, this porn star named Shane, and she would perform in strip clubs around the country. You know, porn stars get paid appearance fees to dance at clubs, right? So he would go with his camera, and what she would do is she'd pick a guy from the audience in the strip clubs and bring him backstage. And it was honestly, it had this whole reality TV vibe to it.
Yeah.
Because
now I recall something. I
how
think
did
you're
I
right.
Miss this?
It's like this amateurish thing, right?
Yeah. It was like amateur porn, but it really wasn't amateur. I mean, his genius, if you can call it that, is that he was actually a good porn filmmaker. He knew what he was doing. The problem, as I see it, or as I should say, as I understand it, the way people, friends say, that amateur porn is lame because people honestly just don't know how to shoot anything.
Right,
They move the camera too quickly. They don't know where to point the camera. It's grainy. This guy was actually an awesome filmmaker. He was one of the first guys to use like a mini DV camera to get like clear footage. You know, like obviously he knew what to shoot and when to shoot it, but just the whole aspect of shooting his wife kind of picking a random guy, like making some guy at a strip club's fantasy come true.
It says that he was a star of Showtime's reality show Family Business.
I don't know about that, but I do know, like, you know, I hope at least he made money, you know, with, you know, selling these videos. I mean, they were on VHS, so this sort of predates, you know, Vivid kind of taking over the DVD porn market.
Right.
But
that he directed and produced over 100
films. And, of course, he got in on the action, too. I mean, I think for every
one guy
he filmed his wife getting down with, there were, like, two chicks for him, you know?
Right,
but it was, honestly, it was fascinating and, you know, obviously really erotic too, but every guy I know that watched this was like, this guy is a genius.
Yeah. And lucky as hell too.
Everyone thought he was just like on top of his game. Now, you know, then you sort of hear through the circles, it's like, you know, is this relationship failed, and then he'd start dating some new stripper and make her the star and center of his business and his video life, and then she would fall by the wayside. So I imagine that's been difficult on him. Sam, I'm with you. It's, you know, I don't think I could run in those circles. It's not anything I would sort of aspire to or want in a personal relationship. But damn, if this guy didn't, you know, take that and make himself into the Martin Scorsese of amateur porn.
There you go. You know, and for guys, it's harder than women, obviously, to make it, you know, in porn and stuff. But, yeah, he seems like an entrepreneur. He knew what he wanted to do. He came out with something unique.
It was,
you know,
very entrepreneurial. I mean, the sort of the salaciousness of making pornography aside, he's not a dummy. He's a sharp guy. He saw a niche market and he kind of tackled it with his skills as a filmmaker and it was
Well, when you ask like people what kind of porn that they like and stuff, a lot of people, like at least when I've had conversations, they always say amateur because it's real people. But you are right. Like the worst thing about amateur porn is the way that it's shot.
Exactly.
So it was brilliant, like what he did, that he went in, you know, to make great looking amateur porn.
If you get him on the phone today, I'd be curious to know about his relationships, because the one thing that I did see, he kept referring to her as his wife, and I don't doubt that they were married, but clearly that relationship didn't last. I'm curious to know how it, if it did take a
toll.
Well,
I don't know if this says anything, but it says in the book jacket, it says a single dad. He lives in Los Angeles, so
yeah.
That might be a hint.
There's your answer, yeah.
There might be a clue there.
Yeah, but we'll have him on for sure. And Reese, I know you wanted to talk about some other stuff in that, and so. Let's see, because we have a guest coming in, or guests coming in at 10.
Okay.
But Reese wanted to bring up something. I tell you what, Reese, let us take a break, and then we'll continue. Okay?
Sounds good.
Call us back in a few minutes.
All right, bud.
Okay,
thanks, Reese.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. We're going to have him like keep calling a few times today, right?
I love talking to Reese.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's awesome.
He's really cool.
I have cool friends.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Cool people have cool friends, you know. Like they say, you know, it's like you can judge a person by the friends they hang out with.
And my friends like my video blogs.
Yeah. So I'm not a friend. Okay.
You'll be one soon enough.
All right.
Well, I swear I'm making a better video blog for you.
Good.
It's going to be directed
to you.
It's got
to be more professional. And then one day you'll thank me for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. You made me move beyond my comfort zone.
Okay.
Made me reach my potential.
That's what Oprah's about.
Yeah.
When I do that.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. The price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted up the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. There's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Avoiding the shadows, well, they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. Cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Too late to break away.
Okay, and we're back.
We are.
Yes.
I'm all peed out and I'm good to go. I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, we have our guests in the studio. Good morning, both of you.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And we have Melissa and Pat.
Good morning.
And you brought us a couple books here, so we'll talk about them in a minute. But let's start with you, Melissa. Where are you originally from?
Originally Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
I've kind of been all over the country.
What'd you say?
I said East Coast.
Oh.
I love East Coasters.
Yeah.
Are you from the East Coast?
I am.
Everybody's from the East Coast. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's true.
It seems like LA is full of East Coast. Yeah.
They try to get to the warmth.
Yes.
I think so.
Exactly. Is that why you moved here?
Actually, originally I moved here for grad school.
Uh-huh.
I went to USC.
Oh, we have a smart cookie here. Now, how does one get into USC? It's pretty difficult, right?
I went there for journalism school, and I just had a creative application. I don't even think that my scores were that great on the, on the test. But I can't remember the name of that test.
Yeah. Just a test.
The SAT.
You'd be surprised how many things in life you can get because of personality.
Absolutely.
Or my dad always said, and I'll paraphrase here, BS baffles brains.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's all about the performance, especially in this town.
There you go.
Tell me about it.
There you go.
I'm not very intelligent.
And what about you, Pat? Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so East Coast, sort of, although people don't really acknowledge Florida.
Yeah. Well, I'm born in Miami.
Oh, so, Miami.
Yeah, they always call it the South. And I'm
you call it the South. And they're like, no, that's not the
it's
South.
Not the
and I'm
South.
Like, have you seen a map? It's on the bottom. It's that's
it is, but I think Tampa's more of the South than Miami is.
And even a little further north is like maybe Jacksonville.
Yes.
Or Ocala.
Yeah,
I mean, not
that's
quite
definitely.
As far as Jacksonville is considered the South more. It's almost like southern Georgia.
Uh-huh,
but when you
exactly.
get to Florida, they consider all the transplants and this and that. They're like, that's not the South.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, because I don't have a twang in my voice.
Right, exactly.
Although some people think I do.
Yeah.
They say, you're not from the South. So.
Right. And when did you move here?
I moved to Los Angeles in the 01. So it's been about 9 years, mm-hmm. and I moved from New Orleans.
Okay.
Pat and I actually met.
We met in New Orleans, ironically, at an internet radio station.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is now defunct.
Are you guys a couple?
No.
No, you're not.
We dated. We were married back in...
Never dated.
Never dated.
She's like saying that adamantly.
Why do you not acknowledge the time that we were together?
Because it was non-existent. We never even went
She wouldn't have
so
me.
You guys weren't dating,
she
but
have
you
me.
Were...
No.
So you want to tell me all these years, no hanky panky or anything.
She wouldn't have me,
really?
Steve. She doesn't like mustachioed Jewish men.
Yeah. Okay, then I'm out of the picture completely.
That's quite a mustache you have.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Is that wax?
No, but it's the Jewish part.
Do you wax that part?
So you met there at a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why were you at the radio station at the time?
Well, I came down. I had friends that worked at the station, and I was living in Monterey, and
uh-huh.
I didn't like it there, and I wanted to move back to New Orleans.
Didn't like Monterey. What is wrong with people?
I liked Monterey. It wasn't that.
Melissa Hexer has a grass is always greener complex. No matter where she, in fact, on the way up here, we're talking about. I want to move back east. Things are too easy here. I'm like, what?
Well, she sounds like Sam. She's got a problem with everything.
Maybe. So I moved down to New Orleans to be a talent coordinator for the radio station.
Oh,
so
nice.
I got to find fun people to get on the show.
That's cool.
And he was a DJ.
This place was...
Oh, you were a DJ there.
I was a DJ. My background is radio. I was doing talk radio in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Really?
Actually, I worked in Tallahassee, Florida also. And I answered an ad for a place they were putting on Bourbon Street. They took an 18th century townhouse,
mm-hmm.
they gutted it right on Bourbon Street, and they turned it into a studio.
Nice.
So you'd walk
That's
down Bourbon
cool.
Street. There would be Pat O'Brien's, you know, there would be a margarita place, there would be a t-shirt shop, and then there would be, you'd look in the window, and there would be a radio station. There would be the board and the microphones, like, you know, and cameras, because we was on the web. We had a webcam up on the balcony of Bourbon Street.
Right.
We had one in the studio. We played world music. We played Dido and Moby and things like that back in 99 when no one had heard of them. And we sold digital downloads.
Right.
And it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
And it was before, you know, any of this like Napster or anything like that. And they burned through their capital in 1 year and they showed all of us the door.
Really?
A year to the day.
Yeah.
The first wave.
Happy anniversary.
The first wave of firings came down there. Big meeting. I'm like, great, they're going to celebrate and give us all raises.
Yeah.
What's that? And it was weird because we all arrived at the offices and they had a list. And when you walked in, they said, okay, Pat, you go this way.
Right.
Because I was, and then it was like Sophie's Choice.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
You get off the elevator.
Well, it's
and
not enough
like,
to have a radio station. You have to have a business savvy, you know, and maybe they didn't. Who
they,
knows?
They like I said, they burned through their money in a hurry, but
their ideas were great.
It was great idea. And like I said, it was before IMing, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was something called NetMeeting.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And you could,
Microsoft. Yeah.
Yes, you could download NetMeeting and chat with the people in the studio.
Right.
And we had a camera. But back in 99, it was sort of right around the crossover for when people stopped having dial-up.
Mm-hmm.
So a radio station on the internet perplexed people because how are we going to call in?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to disconnect from the internet to call in.
Oh, right.
But now everyone's got DSL or high speed and you have a free phone line too.
Right.
So now it makes more sense. But
but just so they had the thought of that back then, though.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was brought in to host one of the shows, and we would play world music, which was awesome, and then we would interview people. Some of them drunken hookers from Bourbon Street would just stagger in the middle of the night. We never closed the doors. We had security guards. And Melissa was hired to bring bands in.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a huge... New Orleans is a... I don't know if you've ever been. It's a great place for musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrities love New Orleans. And so she would wrangle these celebrities and people who just happen to be breezing through town to come in and do an interview on Bourbon Street. Who wouldn't want that?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now you go back, go, and it's a T-shirt shop.
Right.
So was it like Love at First Sight?
What, for the radio station? Or the
you and the hookers.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, yes, I have several STDs.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to fall in love with a prostitute, let me tell you.
Really, sir?
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, like I would know. But Melissa, so you got into journalism and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do now? I mean, how has that helped you in
Well, at this very juncture of my life, I just had a baby.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
congratulations.
What's this?
That's why she can't talk about the hanky-panky. Go ahead.
I'm so
well, congratulations to you.
Yeah,
that's
you.
Amazing.
So sad that she won't
2 months
talk about
old
us.
Now.
Really? Is that your first one?
Yep.
Wow, that's
yeah.
amazing.
A boy
huh?
or girl?
A boy.
What's his name?
Gabriel.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, so
cute that it's your kid.
Okay, so you're a busy mom right now.
So I'm dealing with sleep deprivation and all that and crying baby, but it's great.
Yeah. So how did you find time to write? I mean, you wrote a couple books, right? Were they released recently?
This one actually was released last month. Be Happy.
Uh-huh.
Be Happy That was released last month. Some of my others have been released in the past couple of years. So.
Yeah. And these are all original stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
That you wrote and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Wait. As opposed
to plagiarism.
She's been known to copy just like chapters of text and then publish
put
them.
Her name
and then,
on it.
Man, do people get pissed when you do that.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. So, were you involved in the books as well?
I'm a comedian,
right.
And I've known Missy since back in New Orleans in '99 we met, and she's lived in different places, and we've kept in touch, you know, through email and phone calls and such, and she knows I'm a comedian, so she contacted me and said, hey, I'm writing this book. I know she'd written all these other books by herself, and said, this one's going to be kind of funny. Let's work on one together. So, and the concept of the book is, and you've seen a lot of these books, they're sort of impulse buys up at the cashier at the bookstore.
Yeah.
101 reasons to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's little things like birds in the trees.
Right.
And the feel of sand between your toes and crap.
Baby's laughter.
And baby's laughter and crap
yeah.
like that. So this one,
that's
she's
Cherry's
like,
kind of stuff.
My kind of
yeah.
I'm like the leaves blowing.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I never really thought about that. That maybe is a good reason to be happy. But this is a little more bizarre. It's like things that you really never thought of, reasons to be happy. Stuff like the fact that you don't speak in whale calls. Because imagine if you did, Shamu's knocking on your door. What's this now? What? You parked where?
Uh-huh.
Be happy that beaches aren't made of quicksand.
Uh-huh.
Be happy you don't have a tail.
Be happy you don't have a tail.
I know, I'm very happy about that, actually.
You'd be very uncomfortable sitting in that chair.
Or be happy that your name isn't sperm.
I like that one.
Equally funny is the illustrations are fantastic.
Yes, and who did those?
An illustrator
they
from,
copy those.
From England, actually.
Yeah. Those were plagiarized. Really? So you hired someone specifically for this,
did,
obviously?
Right.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how long does it take to write a book like this?
We actually wrote that when I initially thought of the idea. I had broken up with a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and I was really upset, and I was trying to trying to sort of cheer myself up and talking to him over instant message, and I started making up these funny reasons to be happy because I was not happy.
Right.
And so we just were going back and forth on instant message, and we thought of a lot of them that way. So a lot of them were, you know, maybe half the book was just an instant message conversation. And then once we got a book deal, then it was actually a little harder to come up with the funny little things because we were being forced to come
up
with them.
Exactly.
Right. But this is cool. So how do you get published?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I always have all these brilliant ideas, and then you're just like, yeah.
And a major publisher too, right?
Yeah, it's Division of Random House that published that.
It's awesome.
I got lucky. I mean, I got a book deal my first one was in 2003 maybe. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've just had contacts with the publisher and with another publisher. And once you sort of get in with the publisher, then you can kind of call up and give them an idea.
You got one foot in the door at least. Yeah.
I think this book is a perfect gift-giving book. Like, honestly, like I would give it to someone like you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone that's always like...
Someone who's a curmudgeon? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, just like the crazy things to be happy about. I think it's great.
Melissa Hechter works hard. Since I met her, she was... she would write these books, these little novelty books, and it would be things like sentences of words that sound funny together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? And it's just random words like booger, tampon, garbage truck, and more poetic than that.
Right.
But and she would bind them. She would go to Kinko's and she would bind these books, and they would always be laying around the house. And I'd be like, wow, this is cool. It's actually packaged. And it's something small like that. If you do that and you go ahead and bind it yourself, it already looks like a book.
Yeah.
So she did the groundwork. I mean, it wasn't just a phone call or go to my MySpace page, which, mm-hmm. I mean, and technology affords a lot of things
now.
Like she said, we wrote most of this book on the internet together. I didn't have to look at her.
Right.
Which is...
Now, how come your name is not on the book?
It is, actually.
Yeah. It is?
Yeah, it's buried inside, like, on page 3 or something.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, because it was mainly your project.
My project, right. And then I got the help of Pat to sort of finish it off, and another friend of mine in New York.
There's actually Jordan. Another guy who we haven't even mentioned yet. So,
but yeah, Jordan Burchett, who is a editor at Maxim Magazine, and he's a good friend of mine, and really funny guy. And he also helped through Instant Message. We did a lot of it.
We opened a Google document that everyone can sort of chime in on, and wrote it like that. It's really, I mean, I guess 20 years ago, people were writing books, knocking on doors, saying, "Excuse, you're the publisher. Hi, could I have a sit down with you and we'll talk about this?" I don't know how people got anything done 20 years ago.
Well, they did, you know, not as quickly as we can, but they did, yeah.
But I mean, even things like the social networking sites that help so much. I mean, don't you find that, like, when you're putting
as
something out there?
As a comedian or as a musician, you can really promote, obviously, on... in fact, one of your guys here, Sean Green, is... we travel in the same...
Same circle.
Comedian circles. Eventually, you're going to meet everybody who does the same.
Yeah, we get a lot of comedians in here.
There's a lot of stand-up. I saw an awful stand-up show last night, and... unfortunately, there's good and there's bad of everything in this town, but it was...
I worked really hard at it. I'm sorry.
I know. I promised I wouldn't say anything.
Damn it.
Wow, she slipped me $5 and she said, just don't even mention what happened with the monkey and the pirate patch.
And you just mentioned it. Great.
Sorry. Here's your $5.
So are you a comedian too? Do you consider yourself one?
No, actually, you know, I think of my sense of humor as kind of... sort of absurd, this sort of thing, to be happy.
Right.
But I'm not, I definitely couldn't stand up on a stage and do
anything.
Yeah,
that's
right. You're like,
to
you're
do.
Like the writer. You're the writer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The writer. There's the performers and the writers.
It's safe. You can hide behind your computer screen. And not that she would, I mean, she would be fantastic, I'm sure, if she tried stand up.
I don't know about that.
This is a town of performers.
Yeah.
And people, you know, usually come out here because they want FaceTime. And Melissa Hechter is a rare. Breathe. She does not want to be on camera. She doesn't.
You'd
want
be the one I'd hire to like write my stand-up routine.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that I would want Melissa Hechter, someone like Melissa Hechter, to be my spokesperson.
Uh-huh.
I wish I could do the jokes like Cyrano and be backstage and whisper the lines to her, because you need an attractive, a good-looking spokesperson in this town. That's my backhanded compliment.
So you're going to use her pretty face, but you're going to do the talking.
Isn't that weird? And
haven't you noticed that's how it works?
Yeah, I noticed, yeah. I don't know why you need a spokesperson. You're doing all the talking.
I'm fine. But you'll notice it's radio. We're not on TV right now.
Right.
People be like, what in the hell is that?
For radio.
Where's the remote?
Yeah.
Yes, face for radio.
It's okay, I got
so
that.
So for those of you wondering what book we're talking about, it's called Be Happy That. And Melissa Hechter, is it?
Hechter.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And I know it's probably available on Amazon and all
it's
these places, right?
It's available everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere books are sold. Barnes
yeah, it's
Noble,
it's pretty
Borders.
Cool. I mean, it's a great gift idea, and it's funny, too, you know? So, Sherry, here, you get to look at it from
okay.
here.
Okay. I'm already excited to
it. It's yeah. like one of those books you'd see at the front in the front of Urban Outfitters.
Uh-huh, totally.
They've got, like, piles of books, like Position of the Day and stuff like
those
that.
Those are the
books
I
which buy. I've been begging her to do, like, a Position of the
Day. Position of the Day, illustrated
yeah,
and everything.
Type of thing.
I'm
and it's
sure.
And it's us.
Yeah.
Just friends,
that's
but
what I figured. Yeah.
Right.
Take
yeah.
one for the team, I say. No, it's, yeah. not, it's not in her...
I want to know whose baby this really is.
Well, Melissa knows there's no such thing as male friends, right?
Actually,
no,
she's
there
like...
is. We're good friends, and yeah. it's been a decade.
No, I know.
Guys have two kinds of female friends. Ones they haven't had sex with, and ones they haven't had, and ones they haven't had sex with yet.
Right, exactly.
Totally. Sorry.
Yeah. The truth is she hasn't taken a paternity test yet.
Yeah, that's true.
She's
huh?
my ride home. It's like, I need a bus pass.
Yeah. And are you married as well?
I am.
Okay, so your husband doesn't think he's like too much?
No. My husband loves
it. I got grandfathered in.
Too close for comfort.
No, I knew her first.
It.
Yeah.
Because he comes over. That's when he comes true. Over, my husband doesn't have to do any of the talking.
Yeah.
So, that's how I feel right now. I'm just sitting back. I'm like, I'm in just for the ride.
Trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, think long and hard about it. No, I'm kidding. So you moved here. Did you always know you wanted to do comedy and stuff?
No, I did radio. I did radio for probably 10 years before I... and radio, it's kind of like comedy, mm-hmm. but I didn't do stand-up per se until I moved out here.
Right.
And because, as you guys know, if you're a performer in this town, there's no shortage of places where you can hone your craft.
Right.
The great thing about comedy, stand-up anyway, and maybe even sketch, is that there are so many outlets here, you can do it every night
yeah.
of the week. And I
yeah.
know people... who they'll do 3 open mics a night. And it's great in New York because a lot of it's in the same area. You can walk across the street mm-hmm. and do different ones. But here, it's all spread out. Still, I know people who do like a 7:30 open mic at a coffee shop in the Valley, mm-hmm. Shoot down to Westwood and do an open mic at 8:30 in Westwood, and then go to maybe down to the South Bay and do one at 10:30.
Yeah,
well,
unpaid.
That's pretty cool.
And it's all unpaid.
Yeah. Right, right.
That's
but
how
they
you
do
know
it to promote themselves.
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, you got to get started somehow.
It's like acting classes. And I mean, it's classes for you, really, is what
it's
it is.
It's the nature
you know?
Of the beast. I mean.
Yeah, and there's so much competition in this town as well, you know, that you got to really stand out, you know, and be out there as much as you can.
There's a lot of things in this town that make people crazy. And a lot of it, if you're a performer, is the fact that you're going to do a lot of work for free
right.
in this town. And that, coupled with some of the worst traffic you've ever seen, and a couple of Chelsea Handler billboards, and you know, women, 65-year-old women in low-rise pants, and you've got the recipe for lunacy.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Like, when I first moved out here, I was like, I'm too good for that. I have a degree. I'm trained in theater. I studied in London. And I was like, I don't do those things. And then now suddenly I'm like, okay, student film.
Yeah.
All right,
out the
whatever,
window.
That's fine.
Student
that's
film,
fine.
Nudity required. Sure, okay.
Casting couch, fine. I mean, but the point anything. Is also, though, like, your student films, I mean, you never know who's going to be your director and who's up and coming, and it's connections and all that kind
and
of stuff.
And the next thing is the next thing. I mean, it's like extra work. People always ask me, you know, I'm moving to Los Angeles. A friend of mine called me the other day from North Carolina, and she said, I'm thinking of moving to Los Angeles to pursue my acting career. And I said, yeah, of course you should do that, because not a whole lot of people are doing that anymore. And then she said, are there any jobs you can think of in the biz that I could do to make money while I'm waiting to be discovered? And I said, well, you could do extra work. Or I guess you could do porn. I said, one of those things is completely degrading to all humans. The other is porn. People do extra work
it's
out here. It's like that. You never know who you're going to meet doing extra work.
And that's Pat true, has yeah. actually been on a couple of game shows, too.
Yeah, I did the textbook thing you do. You move to Los Angeles, and then you make money doing extra work or doing crazy jobs or going on a game
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I was on two game shows.
What
really?
Were you on?
One versus 100.
What
the Bob
that?
Saget one.
I don't think I ever watched it.
Yeah. I called him a cock block.
You want to know what's pathetic and wonderful at the same time? I did audience work for that show.
Did you really?
So you auditioned to be on the show. And yeah, it came out around the same time. There was one that... William Shatner also hosted. Show Me the Money.
Okay, I didn't
that lasted
that
about 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And the whole and it was all sort of, you know, when Deal or No Deal caught on, a lot of people started doing style over substance type shows. You know, pretty models.
Mm-hmm.
The ones on Shatner's show would dance. I don't know if you remember that. It was a it was an okay show. I thought it would last, and it came out around the same time as One Versus 100. There were 100 people, and you had to guess how many people said something of, you know.
And then people were getting you know, eliminated type thing, and I had gotten down to like the last, I think it was like 4 people or something, and my eyes started wide. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna win like $200,000. And then in my head, of course, I was thinking, oh, you never win anything, Sherry. And right when I was thinking that,
manifested that.
Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, I know that now. I was like, the next thing, I got the question wrong. I was like, I'm done for. I was so
you won
close.
Nothing?
No, nothing. I didn't even get a damn T-shirt. Nothing. And I missed work. I like my car had broken down, so I rented a car to go to like the set for like 3 days. Yeah.
No.
Not even a fucking T-shirt.
Yeah, they don't even give you a consolation prize.
Nothing.
So you were on another show too?
What's its name? Not Scrabble? No. It was a long time ago, but it was I don't remember. It was like Scrabble, Boggle type crazy.
He was on
something.
Wheel of Fortune.
I always want to be on Wheel of Fortune.
37
on the best friend shows.
$37,000 I want on Wheel of Fortune.
Did you really?
Yeah. Really? How long ago was that?
The '02.
Oh, too.
So that was a while ago.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not like when you were like buying stuff, like, I'll get that grandfather clock for
$500. No, it wasn't.
That was my favorite when we looked at it like that.
I was in that weird middle part where they didn't have the $100,000 on the wheel at the end that they have now, and they have $1 million space. It was before that also. And I keep hoping that that they're going to call me for the Tournament of Champions or something. I didn't win enough money, but
winning $37,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah. It's gone. And I have a long-standing relationship with the IRS. Because the thing is, a lot of people don't know this, and they should. If you're on a game show, they send you every dime. They don't take the taxes out.
Really? So like,
and then you spend every dime.
That's your and then you're like, oh, well, I should probably take $5,000 out of and then put that to the side, and I'll worry about that later.
Yeah, it's more like 50%, isn't it?
No, it's not that bad. It was about $5,000. 37, it was about it was about $5,000.
That's not bad.
Okay, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it is when you spend it all.
It's horrible when you spend it all, and then you pay them back $100 a month for the rest of your life. And, But the IRS has got bigger problems than, not that I'm avoiding them.
That's what I'd say to myself every year when it's tax time. I'm like, they're not looking into a little waitress. What's a little lie here and there? Just kidding, IRS.
Yeah. You have to report your tips? Is that you're not reporting your tips? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
If they want to know, if there's ever an audit, I never get tipped. I'll just tell them I never get tipped. I delivered pizza for a while.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely report my tips. But, I mean, we also tip out people. So there's no saying. I'm a very generous person. I give my busboys a lot. Lots of my tips.
That stings, doesn't it, when you have to tip out? I don't...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do half the job that I did if they weren't around.
So, that's true.
I keep telling myself that as
I'm
handing over
all my
money.
Nice person, you know? Sometimes
this
too much.
This is why he needs the happy book. You hear me?
Yeah. Which takes us to your other book, which is called Dismissals, right?
You might want to use this on the if you want.
If you want to dismiss me.
Right. This is a little book of postcards. It came out about a year ago. Each postcard is another way to dismiss someone, whether it's break up with them, tell them you don't like them, you don't want to be friends with them anymore.
And they're actual postcards, so you can pull out each page,
mail it to them,
slap a stamp on it.
Is this something you would actually say to someone, or is it just more for the fun of it?
It's so mean that it's sort of funny. So yeah. I think anyone that gets one knows you're joking. Because it's just a little too mean.
Sorry,
to
I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this one. This is really funny. Dear Grandma, thanks for the $2 you sent on my birthday. I'm sure it was worth a lot in 1937. Love, Sherry. Yeah.
And it's just a postcard that looks like that. It's
that's awesome.
It's genius. It really is.
That's awesome.
There's actually another.
Were you part of this book as well?
No, I was not. No. She didn't bring me in.
When did you write this one?
I wrote this one. It came out, I think it was a year ago, so I wrote it. Not shortly before that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these books, they don't take that long to write. They're
I would imagine. It's more the ideas that take time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And the pursuing it. Like, I mean, did it take a long time for it to get published?
Not really, actually.
You're just brilliant.
Like I said.
I'm telling you.
I really lucked out.
I'm putting your name on my books.
People don't realize that these sorts of books are a lot easier to get published than if you're writing a novel.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Or something like that. I mean, not only, obviously, a novel takes a long time to write, but...
No, novelty books are great.
Publishers get so many novels, and you know it's hard for them to read them. And these sorts of books, there's not as many people that write them for some reason.
Right. So, and this book is called Dismissals, and it's
and it's dis, like D-I-S.
Yeah, like D-I-S.
Hyphen.
Right.
You get me dissed.
Dismissals.
Yeah.
And there's
with
36.
A thumb down.
36 postcards in there.
Okay.
They're
let's
all
see if
really
I can find
fun,
a cool
and
one.
So you can give it to coworkers. Parents.
There's like smart ass.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That
so how do you
one.
Think about all these things? I mean, it's pretty cool.
I don't know. You know, I'm a really nice person, but I like that kind of weird meanness. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody, I think a few years ago, someone her publisher told her, I like your idea, but you need to be, I think the word they used was snarkier.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of like that. Right. Those are... It's kind of a twist. And with a knife. I mean, it's kind of like it's nice and they're flowery, and you can see the designs are really and they're covered with hearts. And
yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's got some nostalgic kind of stuff. You know,
yeah.
What am I trying to say? Like retro type of graphics.
It does have that retro look.
Yeah.
I understand the nice and like snarky thing because I'm always seen as nice, and I got called by one of my customers last night snarky because sometimes like I like to use my sarcastic side at work because I'm generally like really nice to people, and I was trying to clear his plate at some point, and he was like, I'm not, and it was just like little peppers that we put on a bread. He was like, I'm not done with the goodies on that plate. And I was like, okay. So I just like left it there, and then they were completely done. Everything was off the table except that little plate, and I said, may I take your plate of goodies? And he was like, well, aren't you a little snarkety child? I was like, no, I just thought what you said was so cute. Or whatever, but it was just funny. I'm snarky. I like it. I get the sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's just, I think I'm a nice person, but in writing, I tend to be a little bit more mean. It's the same way that I don't talk that much, but I, you know, I put it all out in writing. So it's awesome. The same way with
yeah,
the
Yeah, it's a good way to
cruelty.
Channel it and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, before you had the baby, were you only writing or what?
I was working for a newspaper.
Uh-huh.
The Los Angeles Newspaper Group is a group of newspapers in LA, Daily News, the Daily Breeze down in the South Bay where I live, and a couple other papers all around. And so I wrote feature stories for them. And I also had a dating column, a bi-weekly dating column.
I always wanted to do that. That's very cool.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Until I got into a serious relationship, and then it wasn't fun to write about that relationship anymore. It was fun when I was dating and writing about all the crazy dates, but once I was in a serious relationship, I had to be really careful what I wrote.
Yeah.
My boyfriend, now husband, would read it all, and I didn't want to say anything that would hurt his feelings.
Yeah. So true. That's what the radio is for me right now.
Yeah.
When I was dating, it was all cool, but now that now people are listening, I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
Can't be as open as you like to be.
Yeah. Have you dated a lot of guys in your life?
I'm sorry.
He's so bitter.
I've gone on a lot of dates.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had a lot of boyfriends.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you met this one, how long were you together before you got married?
About...
I thought you were going to say, how long were you together before you got pregnant?
You're looking at Pat. I mean, you should know this.
I think
they're having
about
a bromance, her husband and him.
About a year.
She looks different.
Actually, it was a year because we had our one-year anniversary a couple days before our wedding.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, it was quick. We moved in together 6 months after we met.
Really?
You're like, this one passed 2 dates. He's mine.
Yeah. I wrote a column about it, actually, when I realized I really liked him.
Uh-huh.
I wrote this column. It was sort of a big leap to take because I didn't know whether he felt the same.
Yeah.
And I wrote how I really felt like he might be the one. And then I gave it to him to read, and
that's
he liked it.
Cool.
And didn't he? Yeah, she didn't tell him what was in it. And the fact that, and based on his response, like after he read it, if he either like took off, there's like a smoke outline of his body, or if he stayed, then she knew how things were gonna go.
Yeah. He liked it.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So
that's
we
like very
saved
movie.
It.
That's a movie script right
there. Yeah, I have the column. We framed it, and we have it in our house on the wall now.
That's
cool.
I
love it.
And you've been married for how long?
About 7 months.
7 months.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's all pretty new.
Yeah.
Pregnant before
Yeah, got
the marriage.
Pregnant before she got married.
Scandalous.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Did you put that in an article, too? Honey, we're pregnant?
Yeah. No, I wasn't at the time.
You know what? Last January, she said, hey, she has a cat, and from time to time, my girlfriend and I, we cat sit for her. And she said, we watch Paxil, is the cat's name.
Like the antidepressant.
That's funny.
He calms me down. I'm like, what? Anyway, she said, we watched the cat. Noah and I are going to New Orleans. And I thought, well, that's going to be fun. And they came back married.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell anyone that they were going. Well, they didn't tell me. And then, but they had a huge. All the families met there. And she came back with pictures. And she said, "Here, look at our pictures of our wedding." And I'm looking. I'm thumbing through the pictures. Oh, that one's great. Oh yeah, I remember Jackson Square. That's pretty. Oh, there's Bourbon Street. And what's the? And then there was the baby. There was a sonogram or whatever they call it, a ultrasound or what is it?
Right.
It's an ultrasound.
I don't even know what the things are called. And she stuck it right into the. So it was sort of a surprise. I'm like, oh,
that's
cool.
Awesome.
You guys are pregnant now too. And it was kind of like a surprise thing. And but
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, and to go to New Orleans for a honeymoon, Although it's probably more fun to go when it's not your honeymoon. But
or when you're not pregnant, so
yeah,
you can drink.
that was a bit of a problem.
What a great city. I'm sorry. It's hot. It gets hot in the summertime there, but it is such a nice...
I was only there once, like when I was driving through from Florida to L.A., and we stopped there like overnight. I had the best time. It was the first time I had gourmet food. I ate at Emerald's restaurant, and I'd never really had like good food, and I was just like, wow, orgasm. It was really, really good.
Of the taste buds.
Yes. It's not in that way.
Yeah. That's how she expresses herself.
In my dreams.
Everything's an orgasm.
Pretty much, yeah. Sometimes it's a chicken's orgasm.
Oh, this.
Yeah.
Shut up. That was this morning's conversation.
I'm like, I don't really get that comment.
Yeah, no. Chickens had an orgasm on me in my dream last night. Yeah.
An inside joke. You'll have to listen to the replay.
Or don't. It's really gross.
So that's cool. And so...
Do you have any other... Sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was going to ask if you have any other books in the works right now, like any other ideas.
I do, actually. I have a book...
Can I get in on it?
On the ground floor.
Just
going to bury your name on page 3, just know.
I do. I can't tell you too much about it, because I don't want other people to take the idea, but it's based on when I was pregnant.
Okay.
I thought of some fun things that were some silly things that have to do with pregnancy that I decided I wanted to write a book on.
Awesome.
Asked my publisher. He loved it. And so we...
Very cool.
Working on that.
That's cool. Wow.
Which I will say is really, really hard to start writing a book when you have a baby.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
7-week-old baby.
You're like writing on diapers, on formula bottles, like all your ideas are.
Or not writing
baby's ass
at all right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's cool to kind of have like an open door to a publisher like
great.
That, you know? I mean, every time you think of an idea or something, you actually have someone that can execute it, you
know? And it's great. I mean, there's been a lot of ideas I've given my publisher that he doesn't like, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, for every 10 that he doesn't like, maybe there's one he does.
Right.
And so that one gets done.
Yeah.
Which, like I said,
it's reality.
Really,
it just sounds like your life is like, here's a book published. But it's not. It's like being an actor. Except for us, it's like every 100 no's, you finally get a yes.
Yeah.
Me, it's like 1,000.
So maybe get into books instead of talk shows.
Well, I told you I'm writing my coffee table book about that date, but
that's
been like
true.
On the coffee table for years.
I know. It's hard. I mean, that's why it's cool, because in this format, it, like you said, it doesn't take that long to write it. So there's actually, you can see the end in sight, you know, when you're doing this.
And it's just a lot easier and more fun to do because, you know, usually they give me a deadline. It's 3 months. You have 3 months to write a book. And so it's manageable. It's, you know, there have been one or two that I've written that have had more content and actual research that have been a little harder to get done in those 3 months. But in general, it's not an overwhelming project.
Right.
And half the fun, half the challenge is coming up with, and this is the marketing end of it, a cool title, a fun title. And the thing that Melissa and I do well together is we sometimes will brainstorm, just coming up with crazy names for, she'll just call me or she'll IM me, name for a bicycle store.
This is a fun game. We play this when we're in line at theme parks for some. We go to a lot of theme parks together.
Okay.
He's my theme park partner. And when we're waiting in line, we play this game. Maybe it's just the two of us, the only people that think this is funny.
What would be a good name for fill in the blank? Because there are a lot of these places like that have like sort of these pun names.
Like a cut above being a name for a haircut.
A salon.
Right.
Yeah, curl up.
If you notice, hair salons do that all the time.
Curl
right?
up, curl up, and die. Is
the harem, you know, things like that.
They do that. Yeah.
So so she'll call me and she'll just text me and she'll say, okay, the name of a pet store, go. And I'll try to think, and we'll just go back and forth, pause for effect, and you know stuff like that, and they're horrible, and it makes me cringe just to even think of it. But every now and then a good one will come out, like a bicycle store, and I said spokespeople, and she said, yeah, that's great, and then or she'll have a good one, and a good title on a book is, I mean, something that'll grab you, that oh my god, that's funny, I got to get into this book, rather than this book being called, here's some crazy crap you never thought of. Or what?
Actually,
you know what? That would probably be a great title for a book. Some crazy crap you never thought of.
Right.
All right, hold on. I got to make a phone call. Hold on. I actually did the act out. No one can see me. I'm doing the act out.
Yeah.
No webcam in here.
Yeah. Well, there's that, but...
That's not on.
Well, congratulations to both
you.
Of you on the books. It's
Thank
amazing.
You.
And again, the books are Dismissals and also Be Happy That. And it's Melissa Heckscher, of course. And your last name?
Pat Mellon. It's
Pat
Mellon. Yeah.
Sounds good. And you can get those, obviously, everywhere. Thank you. I mean, you guys are a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know what another
sure.
great book is? I'll just mention this. And she's got one called Use This Book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bigger, and it's sort of a novelty book, and it's like stuff that you would need in everyday life from anything you can think of. One page has got a perforated Like, you ever get to a meter, the parking meter's failed, or it doesn't work, it's got a perforated thing that fits into the window of a parking meter that says, I don't know, what is
this
it?
This parking meter's broken.
This parking meter is broken. Do not ticket me. Or something like
that. You're always writing those notes.
Here's my phone. Instead of, it's just stuff like that that you would never think that you would need, and then, oh my God, it's like having a Thomas guide. Although, by the way, with GPS, do people buy it anymore?
Not everybody has GPS, obviously.
Doing so well.
If Thomas Guy were smart, they'd get in on the GPS. They would start making their own. I'm sure they have. But it's a book like that that you'd want to keep in your car, and it's called Use This Book.
Do you have a website where you have like all your books on and everything?
You would think she would.
You know, I don't have a website. I have a website that has my resume and stuff on it, but not something that sells books.
Well, I would think you want a blog since you like to write and stuff, right? I mean, isn't that something you want to do?
You know, maybe when the baby's a little older and I have a little more time,
I can
start doing that. But I'm not really. I used to have before vlogging. I had a readmyjournal.com was this web. Remember that website?
Before blogs, it was before the contraction blog came out. She just said it was just called
readmyjournal.com, which I gave up that URL, which is probably a great URL now. But it was that sort of thing where I would write in a journal every day and everyone could read it, but I just don't have time right now.
Yeah, that's what blogs are, you know? Yeah. Well, amazing.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
Best of luck with your book.
Yeah, and what about you, Pat? Do you have any upcoming appearances that you want people to go and see as far as your stand-up? No?
You know, nothing. When is our book fair?
Well, there's a book fair we're going to talk about.
There's a book fair on the first Saturday in December that both Pat and I are going to be at, and it's at Wax Poetic in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually an author fair. There's going to be about 25 LA authors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book bazaar.
Isn't Wax Poetic like a salon?
It's a salon and bookstore, and they have this really cool event every year where all these LA authors come and everyone brings their books, and you can buy books and have the authors sign them because there's like 25 local authors there with their books. And drink wine and hors d'oeuvres and...
Awesome.
Get cool books from local authors.
We're gonna
be at that, and that's the first Saturday evening in December.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Thank you, guys.
Melissa and Pat, and we're gonna take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Thank you. Joining the boarding show. I've been working on a new trick, Sam. I think you'll love it. I've been juggling three balls in one hand while shoving a massive cock in my mouth. It sounds something like this. Oh my. And now let's get back to my favorite morning show on the internet, or radio for that matter. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, shut up,
sounds
George.
So funny. Sherry. Sherry in the Morning. I like to feel all fancy. Harmonized. Is that what you call harmony?
Something like that.
Okay. I'm not a singer. But actually, I already am.
Yes.
Well, because today is about what you seek is now, that we already are, and we already have everything that we ever need, and to not look outside ourselves for everything, to just realize that we already are a masterpiece.
Okay.
So it's called What You Seek Is Now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What, I can't be serious about it for
no,
a second?
No, it's because you're paying attention and it's weird. Like, normally you're, like, doing something over there and, like, now I feel your eyes. Okay.
Okay. Okay, I won't look.
No. We sound like two little kids. Okay, I'm not going to look. Okay. All right, what you seek is now. End the battle within yourself and you will know peace. Cease to separate one thing from another and you experience unity. Enlightenment is not the accumulation of knowledge or wisdom. It is the full realization of what you already are. Richness has nothing to do with material artifacts or financial transactions. It is the surrender to an abundance that has no limit. What you seek is not somewhere else or this or that. What you seek is now. The more you look for it, the more it hides from you. Relax, remember the source of your deepest yearnings, and allow yourself to know their fulfillment.
Oh, that makes sense.
They usually do. Yeah,
they usually do. If only I paid attention, right?
Well, again, I speak about this. I mean, a lot of my subjects are repetitive, but, you know, you could think about it in many different ways, and it gets expressed in many different ways. And I always talk about people, like, searching for things outside themselves, you know, and they pray for strength, they pray for courage, they pray for all these things, and God, please give me this, or universe, please give me that, not realizing that I mean, in my belief, I believe that we already have, you know, all of these characteristics. We already are all of these things. I believe that we are, you know, if you believe in God, for myself, it made in the likeness and image of like this all-knowing, all-powerful, you right. know, knowledgeable, smart, joyful, loving, you know, being. And we just kind of forget that when, you know, our human sides come out, you know, and right. other things in life. And I think when you dig down deep enough, you find that you already have the answers for everything, you know, if you just silence your mind enough,
yeah.
you know. So
you keep telling yourself that.
I keep telling myself that you'll be nice one day. That manifestation's taking some time. Oh, fucker.
No, but you're right. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, because we always look, I know I tend to look at what other people have and, mm-hmm. you know, and all that stuff.
And I want this, I want that.
Exactly. You know, but it's really not that, you know, I mean, right. it's like what you need is ultimately you want to be happy because that's how it all leads. You know, that's, you know, ultimately, why do you want this? Because why do you want right. this? Because ultimately it'll make me happy.
Right. That's why it says like search for like, you know, the. For your inner, like your inner source, like your yearnings, search for what really is what it's truly about, because it's really not right. truly about the car, or it's really not truly about, you know, having the love of your life. It's not really about those things. There's deeper things than that, you know,
yeah.
and that's why when someone wants, you know, oh, I want to have all this money, and then they find the money, and then they realize that they're still not happy, or, oh,
right,
I want
right.
these, you know, fake boobs, or I want, you know what I mean? And then there's constantly,
yeah.
there's other things, you know. We already, the source is already within us, you know,
yeah.
the joy and the love and all that stuff.
That's true. That's true. I have to
you
agree
know?
With that.
So... that's cool. what that's about. And what else? What else do I got to share with you?
A positive
sure.
story?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, sure. You always seem to have them.
Well, you know, some like I said, some days are more difficult to find, although CNN is doing this series now. It's Heroes. Remember I said I wanted to do a Everyday Heroes type thing? Well,
right.
CNN is now doing Local Heroes.
Oh.
Probably listen to me on here. These are the ideas that when our guest was just in here that I say I always come up with all these ideas and then
uh-huh.
I never follow through with them. That's my problem, is follow through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like have a bunch of unfinished projects everywhere. You
right.
know, I need like a boss, like a whip.
To help you organize what
well,
you're
be
doing,
like,
yeah.
okay, well, give me deadlines. That's why I like,
yeah.
I work really well with like directors and producers and like, I can't do it on my own. I need
right.
someone to be like, you need to have this done by this date.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're doing this and I saw this on there. There's this guy, I find it funny how people spend their lives trying to be so healthy and the healthiest people get sick sometimes. There's this
yeah.
man who jogs 10 miles a day. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he eats well, all this stuff. And one day, this was like 3 weeks ago, just part of his jog and just collapses of a heart attack.
Well, I've heard that before, but that was about this really big guy on
mm-hmm.
running and stuff. He was like famous about
mm-hmm.
running and
mm-hmm.
that. So it seemed like almost you were telling the same story.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's not even him. Like, it's just, you just
yeah.
never know, like, your body. That's why I'm just like, alcohol is okay.
Exactly. Do whatever the hell
you life,
want.
You know?
Exactly. You
well,
gotta go, you gotta
yeah.
go, you know? We
text
all have
and
to
drive,
go.
Whatever.
We all go somehow, man, you know?
Okay. Well, that's not the positive news story that guy dropped dead. Well, the weird thing is that, and it's not really weird because there are no coincidences in this world, this man is driving through this neighborhood with his wife and they were going to their friend's house. And they'd been to their friend's house like 3 or 4 times already, so they'd already been there. But for some reason, quote unquote, they got lost this time and they were just driving. They couldn't find the guy's house, and so they're just looking. They're driving slowly and they see this man drop dead on a lawn.
Uh-huh.
And he's never taken a CPR course or anything like that, but he remembers watching on like Good Day Today or Good Morning America,
uh-huh.
this new CPR where it's not mouth to mouth, but it's chest compressions.
Mm-hmm.
But most people forget, like I've taken the course and you forget how many. Well, they showed you on TV how to do it to the beat of Staying Alive.
Yeah.
staying alive.
Yeah.
And he went and he just had a flashback of watching it on TV while he was making breakfast one day. He heard it in the background.
Uh-huh.
And they jumped out of his car and he went and did it and was like humming to it and doing it and saved the guy's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was like, number one, I think anyone that would do that, where there was all these other people standing around that were just calling 911, this guy, you know, goes out and jumps and saves somebody's life, which is, again, what I always say about people immediately trying to help one another. Like, it's in
yeah.
our instincts to do that. But I just thought it was really interesting how if he hadn't gotten lost,
mm-hmm.
he would have never, you know, saved this guy's life. And how did he get lost? He's been to the house a million times. Like, that's like God,
true.
Universe,
yeah.
like the whole thing, how it all kind of works together.
Yeah.
But So for anyone, if you're ever in that situation, to the beat of Staying Alive chest compressions right in the center. And he totally saved his life before the ambulance got there.
Wow.
Yeah. So I always like local heroes and people that step outside their comfort zone. And because you never know what you're going to feel like. Someone like drops dead in front of you. Like, I feel like I would just freak out. You know what I mean? And you kind of just are in shock. But some people just jump to action. And that's that. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So kudos to the man and whatever you are.
Kudos. Yeah.
You're thrilled out of your mind. Your eyes are like glazed over looking over my head. Like, is there a hot girl behind me?
No, actually, yeah. I'm starting to think, why is there something you're not telling us about New York? Okay, I won't put you on the spot.
No, I know.
No, but you met someone. Something happened there in New York. Okay, I won't put you on the spot. I just want you to know I think about it.
Well, that makes me feel much better about it.
Because I'm curious.
No,
I'm sure you'll be ready to tell when you're ready.
I will. It's just something that I'm still processing.
I see. Okay.
I'm still processing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you brought someone from New York.
No, I didn't. I just had an amazing time in New York. It's just something, it was something unexpected.
I see, okay.
And it doesn't have to do with, it doesn't necessarily have to do with a guy.
Right.
Although, that's just, none of us believe that.
Well, I know, yeah. When the city becomes your soulmate, I don't know, I'm starting to wonder.
Well, I mean, I was told I was going to be my soulmate before the end of this year, so. Yeah. I'm looking for him everywhere, and I was just so happy in New York that I was just like, maybe it's New York.
Yeah.
You know, they all say there's all different kinds of soulmates, so,
that's,
you know.
That's true.
You never know, maybe I was meant to live there.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, ultimately.
If that's why you feel in your element, then that's probably true.
I feel that I need to live there and here.
Yeah.
In Italy.
You like it here too, right?
I do like it here, yeah. I mean, I like the nature part of it. I love, you know, I don't love the traffic. I don't love, it's home now, I think is what it is.
Yeah, someone's been trying to call. Let's see. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? It's Jim Brewer. How are you?
Who is this again? I'm sorry?
It's Jim Brewer.
Jim. Okay.
Yes.
Your connection is bad, so do you want to try and call back in?
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know
who that is. Oh.
Jim Brewer?
No clue.
Yeah.
I thought it was like going to be the author or something like that. I'm like, we're out of time. Sorry.
Yeah, but I promise we'll get the author again. It's just, I can imagine it's a busy day for them, you know?
And
it's just. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's throwing in a couple of girls, make it 601, 602.
There you go. Shit, you know? That would be cool. Let's see. Okay, you're back on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Kimber, how are you?
Good.
Better?
Your name is Jim, you said?
Yeah, never mind.
Okay. So, go ahead. Oh, okay, he just hung up. Never mind.
Yeah, he said never mind.
Yeah.
He's either over it or he realized he called the wrong.
I think he's an asshole.
Wow.
That's what I think.
That's really nice.
You don't call into a radio station again and you go, never mind.
Maybe he didn't realize he was on a radio station.
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did.
You're so mean. He's giving like the look of death. He did.
No, you take everything too personally. I mean, you know me. I'm just animated, okay?
You're an animated asshole. I don't take it personally.
No,
I wouldn't show up to work every day happy if I really thought you were mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably going to go back and watch my video vlog a couple of times. And I might come up with one just for you.
But, you know, I didn't try to be mean. And you know that, right?
Of course.
Yeah, somebody's got to tell you the truth. And I figured it's me.
But remember, once again, let's go back to Israel. This is your truth. Remember, these are all your issues.
That's true.
So maybe, you know, you not liking my video blogs is not about mine. It's just maybe the way you wouldn't do your own. But remember, not
everybody's
going to be you.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I am myself. And there's people out there outside of you that like it.
Exactly. Plus, there was someone else filming this.
Right.
And I had a little bit of advice for them as far as the camera angles and stuff, you know. It seemed to be like there's too much sky above you. Your body was chopped off
all the
time.
Well, it's probably because I gave them rules about my body.
Oh, I see. Okay. But it went a little too far.
Oh, because it wasn't like even.
Yeah.
I told them that about my pictures, too, like from New York, because I had said, you know, I don't really need full body, like, you know, because I also like close up because I'm very animated.
Right.
And he took that a little far, and like in half my pictures, I look like I have nothing.
Yeah,
to neck
exactly.
Down.
Yeah. If you want, you just have to do a close up if you want to get the face and stuff.
Right. But I guess I wanted background too. Like, I wanted too much.
Yeah, you did.
They were just trying to oblige.
You're weird. Let's take a quick final phone call here. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, good morning there, L.A.
Oh. God, look at who it is.
You recognize the voice.
Of course I know Tommy's voice. Hello, he took me to dinner and Broadway play.
Wow, that was awesome, Tommy.
Did I just hear you guys say that you didn't know who Jim Brewer is?
I know who Jim Brewer is. I don't think that was Jim Brewer.
Was that you?
I don't know. It just sounded like him to me.
Really? Why would we call him this?
Who's Jim Brewer?
He's like, he's got a radio comedian. Show. Yeah, he's got a show on... Sirius, doesn't he? Or he used to.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very funny guy.
Yeah.
Very funny guy.
Yeah, I don't know why he would call in. I don't even know him, but...
well, maybe because we're great, Sam. Let's think bigger.
Yeah,
maybe
but I mean...
because your radio station impacts the world.
Yeah, there you go, you see.
What do you want, Tommy? What are you fishing for?
Tommy, what was it like? I mean, seriously, what was it like to meet Sherry in person?
Oh, no.
I mean, was she everything you thought she was?
He just laughed at that. It's fucked up.
Well, I mean, to be put on the spot quite like that, you have to take a step back and say,
Yeah.
No, she was incredible.
She's incredible. She's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Plus, it's cool. I mean, I would imagine, you know, when you listen to her all the time and stuff like this, and then to finally see them in person, it's a pretty...
Was I me? Was I what you... I mean, was I what I sound like on the radio? I mean, like the person?
What I feel like I'm on a dating game all of a sudden. No, by the time we actually met each other, I felt like I've known her forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think, I can't speak for her, but I don't think there was any awkwardness or weirdness. She was exactly who I expected her to be.
Yeah, so there was definitely like a soul connection there, right?
Are you like trying to do like matchmaking here?
No, not really. I mean, I'm just trying to get to the bottom.
Yes, Sherry and I have always been connected, you know, through massive.
I think Tommy was trying to get to my bottom.
What was that?
Nothing. Just kidding.
I have to listen to the playback. Uh-huh.
Tommy, listen, the connection's bad again, and we've got to run, man. But call tomorrow, man.
And have better things to say about me. Jeez.
I think he said amazing things about
you. Yeah, I have to do my homework now.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, have a good afternoon, guys.
Thanks,
bye,
Tommy. Take care. Yeah, for us, it's still morning.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
Yes, I got to go film now. I got to go be on top of a roof with dry cleaning under the sun. I'm sure that video blog's going to amuse you.
I'm sure. You do video blogs.
Hey, this is a big deal, though. This organization, seriously, weareallwedo.org, is a big organization. And the fact that they saw her in my little YouTube videos and stuff, and they want us involved with them, it's pretty damn cool.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. That means people in Europe will start seeing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
2011, baby.
And on that note, thank you all for joining us, and we'll be right here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.